Welcome to Local Matters. We are talking education matters today, and we are talking about the western end of the county. We have two special guests from Upperman High School and Upperman Middle School. So Jessica Etheridge is the new principal at Upperman Middle, and Stephen Robbins is the new principal at Upperman High School. And we're delighted to have you both. And just want to have a good time talking about what's going on the western end of the county.
Well, thank you for having us, Dr. Bell.
It's great to have you both here. Some folks may not know about you, and we've talked in an earlier program about there are a lot of new faces in the administration in the county school system this year. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself and sort of where you went to school and what you've done so far in your career. And Jessica, you want to start?
Sure. I grew up in Clarksville and came to Tech, played soccer at Tech, and then taught special ed for a couple years in various counties, and then ended up at Avery Trace for 4 years. Then went to Allgood as assistant principal for 4 years, and now I'm fortunate to be at Upperman Middle School.
Well, that's great. And yep. Stephen?
Grew up in Livingston, went to school there. From there, went to Cumberland University in Lebanon. Came back and started at Livingston as a teacher for 6 years. In that time, I went back to Tech and got my master's in EDS there. Became a principal of the alternative school. Started there for 6 years. And then we hit the road 1 year at Sevier County High School as assistant principal at assistant athletic director, baseball coach, and football coach, and then down to Georgia for 10 years, two places there, Rossville, Georgia, as an administrator, and then at Boyd Buchanan School for 6 years, coaching and administration there, and then back up to Smith County Schools, principal at the high school for a couple years, and at Carthage Elementary for 3 years. In the past five, I've been at Cookeville High School as assistant principal and athletic director.
So you've seen a lot of the different kind of school systems that are around.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to see a lot of different things and learn from a lot of great people, yes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Upperman High School and about how the year's gone so far. You've been through the launch at this point, mm-hmm. and so tell us about your students and faculty.
Well, to begin with, with me being new down there, I knew very few people, and you know, this is Cookeville is a big town for this Upper Cumberland area, but Baxter's more of a small town feel, and the people have been great to me. We've had a good start. I feel like somebody asked me the other day how it was going, and I said, "Well, I think it's going fine, but you might want to ask the teachers and the kids." But the students have been excellent. Teachers have been really helpful, helping me know kind of tradition and what they do, and I'm just there to help them as we go forward.
And how many students do you have this year?
Well, we're the biggest enrollment that Upperman's ever had, 905 students as of today. So I think back in the day, just not very many years back, it was a small school, 300-400 people, and it just kept growing and growing. And now we're up to 905, and with some more industry coming out that way, it's going to continue to grow.
Oh, I think no question that the whole western end is going to continue to see pressure, and more schools will be built, but
yes,
there's clearly going to be more development out in that area. And Jessica, tell us about your students.
It has been a great start to the school year. The teachers, faculty, staff, amazing, top notch. We are top in 860 students. I think we're the biggest middle school right now in the county. So we're feeling some growing pains there, but it's a good thing. It's a good problem to have. So it's just been a great start to the year, and everybody's very enthusiastic. And so.
And is your faculty pretty well? You've got returning faculty. You've got some new faces also.
We've got a few new faces. We've got a few new positions that were given to us since we were so big. But the veterans that are, the rocks of that neighborhood, that area, are there and are just, they're fantastic.
And Stephen, how about you? Faculty make up so much of the chemistry of a school, whether it's elementary or high school. Have you got? I know you've got a great faculty out there. Just tell us a little bit about them and how they've launched the year.
Well, the veterans, as you said, are exceptional. I mean, I've got the department heads just run each department of the school. They're really strong. We've got a few newcomers, some fresh faces in. We added a couple of positions, and we're thrilled about that. And I'm sure it's been all the news about it's hard to find teachers in some areas, and we were lucky enough at the end of the summer. Math is hardest for us as a high school, and we fell into two really good math teachers. We interviewed several, but these two, and I think we've done really well with that. So overall, all over the building, from our CTE to our math to our science to our English, all departments are running really well right now.
Well, that's amazing. It's good to get them started and get everything back moving forward. You've got a unique distinction that's called the Purple Star School Award. Tell us about that.
Well, of course, I can't take any credit for that. That was prior to me, but Mr. Billy Stepp, and those that know Billy, he's big in the military. He really did a great job of pushing that. We have a couple ladies, Miss Wheeler and Miss Rashawn, who really spearheaded that drive. And what it is, it's a salute to our military and all the kids that are kids of military family members. And they recognize them in two or three different ways. We have a big Veterans Day program that's huge, and I think that's really a good idea. They have in April, it's called, and I've forgotten the name, but it's a student-driven awards thing where all the students that have military families, they get awarded and honored. And at graduation, they also get to wear special stoles to distinguish them. I know, Mr. Steph, I was at the Upperman graduate. I'd just gotten the job when the graduation season started, so I was at their graduation last year, and he did a really wonderful job of recognizing all the military in the crowd and the students that were going into the military. And there were several, I think eight or nine from that graduating class, which is really, really good.
Well, that's a great program, and it's great. It's a tribute to our military, but it's a tribute to Billy and to the faculty and staff that have put that program together. It's a great way to support a really important group. So,
yes,
congratulations on it. I hope the Purple Star status just continues.
Well, that's our plan, to continue it on each year, yes.
Well, in the fall, of course, in the newspaper, a big part of every launch is the athletics programs that happen during the year. We want to talk about extracurricular activity, and there's a lot more than athletics, but we could start with athletics. A lot of students are engaged in athletics at both of your schools. So let's talk a little bit. How about the middle school?
We've got football season rolling right now, and we have a new coach there that's, rocking and rolling. We've got volleyball, girls soccer. I'm trying to think what else. I think that's all that's going on right now. Cross country, yes. We've got we're on the district. The middle school team is sort of like a district-wide team. We've got several kiddos running on there and doing really well. So we're just rolling along. I mean, it's been great. It's been fun to go and watch them play and that kind of thing.
And Billy? Upperman football's done pretty well so far. I know we're going to be late in the year by the time this program rolls out, but you've got a really good program.
Yeah, great start to the year. Right now we're 2-0, and Coach Kane and the entire staff, I think we've got, I don't know exact number of kids on the team, but we're probably pushing 60-plus young men on the team. We're 2-0, and both games have been blowouts. They're really strong. And, of course, Coach Kane, he's been there 4 or 5 years, and I don't think he's lost a district region game, and I expect that to continue this year. They're just a lot of veteran young men, and there's a lot of skill, and they're fun to watch. And then along with the football goes – a great band, the cheer squad, the dance squad. ROTC was there representing, our flags the other night. And then, like Jessica said, we've got the cross country running, we've got volleyball going, and girls soccer. So it's a busy fall.
And that's the way it should be. That keeps everybody excited about the school spirit and keeps things moving forward. And I think we would all say a lot of times it's the extracurricular things that keep the students energized about coming back to school.
Yeah, I think so. I think we forget sometimes that's the big reason why a lot of them get up and come to school is because that's so important. And then you play off that into the other extracurricular things that are not athletic. I mean, we've got all kinds of club sports, and we're starting two or three new ones. We've got a fishing team. I mean, a lot of people didn't know that. We've got a bass team, which is pretty awesome. We've got a bowling team that we co-op with Cookeville High School. We've got looking at starting a couple of club things, like a boys volleyball. There's a lot of interest in that. There's been mention of a rodeo club and an e-sports team. So a lot of people are thinking outside the box at Upperman, and it's really cool. So look forward to that.
And it's pretty neat to see e-sports begin to emerge.
Yeah.
Even at the NCAA level, it's recognized now as a college competitive sport, and that shocked me when I first heard it, but it makes sense.
Well, the rodeo, when they came to me about the rodeo, I said, that's really cool, but who's gonna coach that? But we've actually got a lady that's from Nebraska that she said she can do it. So we'll see how that goes. But that's really neat. I know out west they have those in Wyoming and Texas and in those places, but I don't know of a lot of them here. But still pretty neat that there's interest, and we're going to let it go as far as it can.
Well, and you've got an active, if I remember right, an FFA club.
Yes.
And those kind of folks go to rodeos, and you may have a really real winner there.
Well, our FFA is really strong, and we've added a teacher. Actually, today was her first day. We kind of grabbed her from another county. She's kind of an Upper Cumberland girl, but had been down around Chattanooga. And so she's coming closer to home, and she's going to start with us. So we'll have two ag classes or teachers. And then the entire CTE wing, Dr. Eldridge is doing a great job with that. But we want to continue to grow it. But we've got, the health science stuff, and we've got cooking classes and the culinary. And a lot of things we've already talked about we want to add in the future. Maybe an auto mechanics, maybe a cosmetology, and just continue to let our students have opportunities that's not normal. That's not your normal school day stuff.
But they're good for the students.
Absolutely.
And good for their futures.
Yes.
We are going to talk a lot more about that after we take a break. This is Local Matters, and we are going to be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking about Upperman High School and Upperman Middle School, and it is an honor to have the principals of those two great organizations with us here today. So, Jessica and Stephen, we were talking before the break about extracurricular activities, and we talked about athletics, but there's a lot of other kinds of things also, aren't there? How about the middle school, Jessica?
We have a huge band and choir program that have just grown and grown and grown. Cheerleading. We have several clubs. A big one right now is our Youth Stand Club, which is standing up and doing the right thing. I feel like it's like the new version of DARE, but that kind of thing. And so that's been a great. We've got a ton of kids involved in that. We got student council elections right around the corner here. That's been a big deal this year. It's the first time I think they've gotten to pick what office they're running for. Before it was just a group. So the political signs around school have been fun to see and a fun, it's been a good time. So they'll be voting soon. So,
well, it's important that that each student finds something to get interested in besides just the classroom, isn't it?
Absolutely. What gets them excited to come to school?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too, and it's fun that they have an expanding group of opportunities. Stephen, you mentioned CTE a while ago, so talk about career and technical education and the kind of futures that opens up that's not been traditionally in the school.
Well, I think going in my background growing up in Overton County, because we had the TCAT, which used to be called the Livingston Vocational School, and even as a young student in high school, I knew that those kids that weren't your traditional college bound, they would get on a bus and ride over. It was a short ride right across the highway, and they loved it. You know, they had all kinds of welding and things that they could do. And I think throughout the years, that has grown into the high schools. And I think that there are so many good things out there that for a student that's not thinking about going on and getting a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, but there's so many good paying, great positions out there with a little training, they can walk right into a job that's really going to do well for them.
That's a really good job, and that's just another pathway to success that not everybody's got to start in college. They right. might start in a TCAT, which is a college.
Yeah.
But focused on a more immediate skill that they're going to take in the workplace. And then 10 years later, they may decide they want to go on and get a college, a four-year degree or something. So it's great to have these career and technical opportunities available also.
We've actually gotten a grant where we're going to have a CTE class in the middle school.
Wonderful.
So that's been, it's been good. It's career explorations to try to link them up with those classes that they have at the high school. So really trying to build those two campuses programs there.
And we've talked to Jessica and myself. We met this summer, and we've hit it off great with ourselves, but with our students. And I think that's part of what we want to do going forward is to use our CTE people to start their programs at an early age across the street and then bring them over with us and just continue to grow with it.
So it gets them thinking early.
Early, yes.
And again, in a program like FFA, they may have been thinking about that since they were 2 years old.
That, exactly.
It seems to me the FFA group, they stay very engaged in their chosen interest or profession. So, but it's great to have them. Now, going back to athletics, we see parents get very excited about supporting the athletic teams usually. Sometimes maybe a little bit too excited, but there's energy there and there's enthusiasm. It'd be good to get them excited about some of these other areas where you could use them to help support your groups.
Very true. Yeah, me working in athletics for a long, long time, you're exactly right. They get super excited and sometimes too much, but they get very excited. School spirit's huge, and I think, just Friday night in our stands and the last two Friday nights, we've had great student section, a lot of fan support from our community, and of course all our teachers were there, and just really, really neat thing to see the stands full, cheering on the team and everybody involved, and that's big. But like you said, there's so many other areas of a school, and if you go back into academics, we've got all kinds of neat academic programs as well. So, like you said earlier, there's something for everyone. We just got to find their niche.
Even things like this this new interest in intercollegiate gaming that is truly some really specialized computer science work.
Yes.
I mean, these young folks are doing coding that I can't possibly understand, and yet they're really into it.
Yeah.
And there is a competition side to that is certainly energizing for the student. So getting them involved in whatever interests them can really get them excited about their career choice and their future and about their school.
Yeah.
So if some folks are listening that want to help out, certainly it's a good time to say, give the school a call and say you want to help. Well, and speaking of that, we want to talk a little bit about volunteers and their work at school and also about your Adopt-a-School programs, just whatever forms those take. Jessica, start with a little bit with you. How do parents and local businesses and the local community get involved?
I believe the chamber sort of heads that up for the most part. But I've had several, of course, being new, I don't know all the people going in, but I've had several community people, businesses reach out and offer to help in any way possible, that are adopters, that aren't adopters, but just willing to help. And they've just been fantastic to help out with whatever we have asked for or needed. So hoping to grow that number a little bit.
It's good to have them, though,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
And how about Upperman High?
Yeah, same way. The adopters are great. And they do so many different things. I mean, we're talking about athletics. You know, almost everyone has, you know, fence signs, or in the gym they have banners or this or that. And the businesses in this area are so good to buy in to help out all the athletic programs. And then, like you mentioned, just volunteers in general. If having I know we're having a push already for a project graduation, which is a wonderful thing. You know, today even they're taking donations today. You know, we're looking at May, but you're starting early, and which is great. And I had a couple of moms and dads bringing things in this morning. So those are the ones that you don't, they don't get the accolades or the talk about, but they do the things that you really need, and that's really special.
It's that behind-the-scenes work that makes a big difference in a lot of schools, yes, isn't it? I was talking to someone the other day. They have a drama program in their school, and the parents were already making costumes for this things that were going to happen in March and April, like you said. Way out. Well, there's just so much going on, and when we get a chance, I'd like to go in a little more detail in our third session about some of the challenges that you see your students facing. Some of those are related to the county we live in or the region of the country, but some of them are very common all across the United States. And I certainly remember my middle school times, and there were challenges then too. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and ask you both to talk about the challenges faced by your students.
Perfect.
This is Local Matters. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking about Upperman High School and Upperman Middle School, and we're having some great conversations about the outstanding students and faculty there. Jessica, what... from your perspective, would you say are the biggest challenges that students have in middle school?
I feel like middle school is a fun / challenging time. They are still trying to figure out who they are and who their friends are. And, you know, that changes year to year, month to month, week to week, some days. And I feel like sometimes that's hard, and that's a struggle in middle school, and trying to figure out the right crowd to hang out with and the right decisions to make. You know, there's all those learning curves of stupid things we all do in middle school. And I feel like just them trying to navigate through all that it's what makes middle school fun as an adult working there. But it makes it challenging sometimes for the kiddos, but they usually come out on the other side stronger, so...
Stephen, how about Upperman?
Well, I think it's the same thing. It's just as they grow, there's different – the challenges change a little bit, but it's the same thing. I think finding their niche, finding their group of friends, finding what they're interested in, what they're good at, what they're not so good at, and getting them in those roles. And I've, my experience has been by the time they hit you know, mid to late sophomore year, by the time they get their driver's license, they usually kind of figure it out. And they smooth on out a little bit. But those first year and a half is kind of a extension of the middle school age where they do some things that aren't, you know, what they should be doing. Yeah.
Well, and they get that driver's license, and they may continue to do some things that are...
they just keep it a little under the radar a little more.
They do. You probably got some parents listening. So we're still early in the school year. What advice would you give to parents? Let's start with the middle school. What advice would you give to middle school parents?
I would say log into PowerSchool and check their grades. That's how to stay on top of the school side of it. And then I feel like the personal life is make sure you know what's on their cell phone. Every app, everything, go through the cell phone regularly. That's where all the drama happens. I feel like that's part of what makes middle school harder now than it used to be. Like when we were in middle school, you could go home and escape from everything, where now it's on their phone and it's constant and they can't get away from it. And just know what's going on that cell phone, because that's where everything's happening.
That's really good advice, and something some folks don't think much about, but they are they're married to that cell phone, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. How about the high school?
Very much the same. I think that's a great answer, Jessica. I mean, I think the PowerSchool thing's huge. It's a tool where parents can go in and check attendance, which sometimes you don't know if little Johnny missed third period because he was not where he was supposed to be, and we can figure that out pretty quick. Grades, missing grades, and teachers are really good these days to email parents to tell them, hey, you know, he doesn't have this turned in or she didn't do that. And just help them keep up. And I think the big thing, just what she said, stay on their cell phones to know who they're talking to and what kind of apps or websites they're going to. And it's for safety. You know, we brought up safety, and that's a huge, huge part of it. But, you know, there's some not so nice people in the world. And I think it's very, very much important that we as parents have to be up on what our kids are looking at.
It's a bit unfortunate, but it's just a blinding reality that we do need to stay involved in what they're involved in.
Yes.
Well, you, we've talked about extracurricular and things, but let's talk a little bit about after high school. Students go on; they may go to a college of applied technology. They may go to a community college. They may go to Tennessee Tech or to some other great university. They'll go to a university somewhere, many of them. But there is a group of students that get involved early in honors programs and advanced placement and dual enrollment. Explain what dual enrollment means for a high school student and what advantages it brings. And then go ahead and talk about advanced placement.
Okay, I'll give you the dumbed-down version of dual enrollment. Basically, they're taking classes, whether some and some middle schools start it in the ninth grade, 10th grade, that carries on. And basically what they're doing is they're doing their work and they're getting credit for it, not only in high school, but for the advancement of in college. So they can enter college and already have several credits, and it's a huge thing. So I know I've talked to kids before that went on into college with, you know, 6, 8, 10 credits to start. They got classes out of the way so they can jump right in their major and not worry about the prerequisites. So that's huge, and that's a lot of work. And I think sometimes that's the thing that kind of slaps in the face. They don't realize, yeah, it sounds good, I want to get college, but there's a lot of work that goes with it. So that's hard to navigate sometimes, I think. And most of those students that choose that are your high achievers. So they're used to making top-notch grades, but then all of a sudden, when the work is really, really hard, sometimes those grades aren't as high as they were, and that can be a wake-up to mom and dad sometimes as well.
Yeah, the playing field changes when you go into that. Everybody has the same kind of aspirations
And talent. Yes,
and
yes.
Talent.
Yeah, and I think to jump on with that is our AP program. We've got a wonderful AP program with 11 offerings, 9 of which are at our campus, and 2 are online. So 11 chances for advanced placement type courses, which is, again, that's our higher level students, and it really helps them as they go forward. So we've got that. And then a new, we've had work-based learning there, which is where students leave our campus and go to work or whatever. And I think in the past it's been pretty small. But this year, it's been unbelievable, the difference. And I wasn't there, so I didn't see it. But everybody else that's there says, oh, wow, this is like triple what we had before. And, again, that's back to our CTE program and those people doing such good work there. But we've got a lot of students involved in that.
And work-based learning is a phenomenal opportunity to get involved in something that you're interested in, hopefully. And it lets you see whether that is the kind of environment you want to work in or not. And it's good for the employers to see those students too.
Yeah, and it helps in a lot of ways. I mean, that avenue is really great. And then also those that are just there to get a job, to help their family out, to make money so they can continue. And so that's another wing of that. And just really happy to have that for them.
Well, we want to celebrate those students that are doing advanced placement and dual enrollment. And we'll talk about football engagement and the bands and all the other extracurriculars, but boy, this is tough duty when they do these things, and it's great duty. It's great experience for them.
It is, and then when you see our students that are involved in extracurriculars along with the APs and the dual enrollments, that tells you that those students are really on all the time, and they're really working toward being a success in a lot of areas.
I always, for Tennessee Tech alumni, when we talk about that kind of thing, I always mention a guy named Barry Wilmore, who's now on the board at Tech, but commander of the International Space Station, an astronaut, and yet he loved to play football while he was at Tech and was a tremendous football player. So he enjoyed the extracurricular stuff as well as being really good in electrical engineering in his case. So it can be done, and we need to celebrate those students that are doing those advanced placement and dual enrollment kinds of activities. Well, you mentioned how big your campuses are. They're right side by side. You've got a lot of critical mass of students there. Let's talk about school safety a couple of minutes. We saw a massive tornado in western Putnam County 2 years ago. I know you drill for fire drills and tornadoes and ice storms. There have to be a lot of things that you think about, including intruders and school shooters. So talk a little bit about how you build that into your faculty and student mindset.
Well, we have awesome SROs. Our county is fortunate to have the SROs in every building, and we're so thankful to have them. They sort of, I don't want to say lead, but lead the initiative on all that. And we have, you know, plans in place that we discuss and we practice and we go over and we revise and we, you know, revise again, just to make sure that we've thought of every scenario that we can possibly think of. And then someone thinks of another one, you know. And so just trying to make sure that we can be as prepared as we can be, barring hopefully the worst never happens, but that, you know, we're prepared if it does. So.
Yeah, and I think early on in my administrative career, which was a few days ago, but I think that the number one thing that I was taught by an older person was that your number one job is to keep people safe at your school. And I've never forgotten that. And I think in what she's saying, we drill and we drill and we drill and we keep thinking about other ways that we can do to keep things safe from someone coming in or the storms, the weather, whatever it may be, and it's always on our minds. And I think that if it wasn't, you wouldn't be where you should be.
Yeah, I agree. How do you keep your students aware and yet comfortable with their environment?
I think that's the hardest thing. You want them to be in a happy, safe, but carefree, if that's the right word, but yet be vigilant and know what's around them. And I think we as adults got to lead that. You go to games and there's all these thousands of people, but you kind of always got to have your eyes on something, on the crowd, because you never know the weather. I mean, we all got weather apps on our phone and it can pop up all of a sudden. I know the last terrible, you know, storm was kind of, they thought it was coming, didn't know how bad, and it just kind of exploded. And, you know, we know the disaster it caused and just the heartache you know, that could have been in a school day time. It was at night, but it could have been a school day, and that would, you know, we've got to be ready. And like she said, from our sheriff down to our SROs, our director of schools, I mean, they pushed that for us and with us to continue to be safe in all areas. And you know, we obviously want that too.
Well, I know it's top of mind for each of you, and it just has to be. Not always the most fun thing to talk about, but one of the most important that our school leaders think about every day and every hour. Well, it has been a pleasure to have you both on this program, and we'll look forward to getting you back again sometime soon to talk about the new things going on at Upperman. Jessica and Stephen, thank you both for
thank you
for
being
here. Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it. Yes.